All right, this is Pat Prince for the Gold Mine Podcast. So this time on the podcast, we have guitarist, singer-songwriter Billy Morrison, joined by Denny of the Label Group, and also Sean Walker of D Community. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us, Pat. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little about your new album, Billy, The Morrison Project. And more stuff than that. But first, man, I got to say, listen to the new album. You are a riff master.
Thank you very much.
Listening to a song like It's Come to This, it's got a great riff, nice sound. I have to ask you, if you had to choose a guitarist that influenced you to with riffs, another riff master, who would it be? Who would you choose?
There's only one answer, and that's Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols.
Ah, nice.
And here's my reasoning why. If you can name me one other band that in 19 months and 12 songs, because that's all it was, changed the course of rock history still today, I'll take you for a steak dinner, because there isn't one. Every other band, like the Stones and the Beatles, the Who, all of them, they had a trajectory. They had multiple records to hone their craft. The Sex Pistols were 19 months in existence.
Yeah, and he taught himself guitar, didn't he?
And that record still stands the test of time today. Those are the greatest rock and roll riffs ever.
Did you see that doc? Was actually a series, Pistol?
Yeah, I mean, so Steve is a good friend of mine. So I was aware of, before the public knew that was happening, he'd been telling us about it. And, you know, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. I think it's very difficult to make a document, an acted drama out of music. I think they did pretty well, considering the limitations that they had.
Yeah, I think so too. It was entertaining. That's, you know, a lot of us know the history, but you got to make it entertaining enough, right?
I'm not sure it was rigorous honesty and storytelling all the way through, but you know what? It made for good TV.
It did, and I was kind of amused by the actors they chose for Chrissy Hynde and Johnny Lydon.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on. You know, the song Crack Cocaine, man, Ozzy sounds great on that. How did you hook up with Ozzy for that? How did that go down?
Well, Ozzy's my best friend for 30 years. So, you know, we're friends in the most truthful terminology of that word, meaning we don't sit around talking about music a lot. We talk about what friends talk about, which is chocolate and the weather and where we're going for dinner. But we're both musicians, so over the years, we have on occasion, created music. And the interesting thing about Ozzy right now, everyone's talking about his health, and is he going to do this, and is he going to do that? Well, Crack Cocaine proves he still has an amazing voice. He's still the Prince of Darkness. And I just wish everyone could have seen him in that room when the record light went on. And me and Steve Stevens sat there and watched him sing that song in about 12 minutes.
Yeah, it sounds great. In fact, I would say he sounds the best I've heard in a while, I think, on this song.
There are reasons for that as well, Pat. There's a chemistry. Look, me, honestly, we describe each other as best friends. So there's zero ego in that room. he knows Steve very well, because obviously I'm in the band with Steve, but Ozzy's been, we've just been around each other a lot. So there was zero ego. There wasn't anyone trying to show that they were, you know, better than anyone else. It was serving the song. And also, I believe we were granted one of those moments in time where a really amazing song is given to you by the universe.
Right. That's a great point, that Ozzy could probably be more relaxed around friends and just let it rip, so to speak, you know? And Billy, when you say that you guys talk about as friends, do you talk, are you a big history buff as well as Ozzy? I know he's a huge...
I'm not, but I've learned to be, because when you go round to Ozzy's house, it's basically the History Channel at 100 on volume. It's usually war. It's usually killing and death. And I've learned a lot by hanging out with him. I mean, listen, that guy's got so much knowledge about history. Yeah. It's incredible.
So let's talk about this Rockstar Weekend. Is this something that Denny created? Who came up with the idea for the Rockstar Weekend? I know we have about 3 days till it's over. You have about 3 days to enter, fans. But it's pretty cool because you'll get to fly out to Hollywood, hang out at the Rainbow with you, Billy, and then also, I guess you'll be on SiriusXM as well, right?
Yeah, so Sean will tell you more about how it came about, because I all I did was say yes. Yeah. You know, it was presented to me and I said yes. I think dinner at the Rainbow with me is hilarious, because first of all, if I wasn't meeting the competition winners, I wouldn't be going to the Rainbow. I'm an isolationist. So Postmates brings me my food every day. But the pizza at the Rainbow is amazing. So I'm going to go up there and hang out with the winner. The winners. And yeah, all I did was say yes. So Sean, how did it come about?
Yeah,
sure. First, maybe you could tell a little bit about D Community first.
Oh, and am I paying for it?
We're all paying. So really, and to your credit, Bill, you didn't just say yes. Like once we started going back and forth, you got right involved and wants the experience of the winner and the fans, right? To be the best it can be. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. So I appreciated that.
Oh, you're back. Okay, that was weird, guys. Yep, I was like totally back. Gone.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Denny, just so you know, Denny, just so you know, we're recording and we're in the middle of a question. So just go with the flow and then we'll bring you in. You
got Denny it, Sanders, everyone.
So, Sean, why don't you start that answer from the beginning? I'm trying to give Pat edit points here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start from the beginning. So let's talk about this contest, the Rockstar Weekend, where someone is flown out to Hollywood, gets to spend time at the Rainbow with Billy, and also experiences, I think, a SiriusXM sort of get-together with Ozzy, right? Ozzy and others. And I think it came about with D Community, and Sean, maybe you can explain with Denny Sanders of the label group here who has joined us. Maybe you can explain how this came to be and tell us a little bit about D Community for those who don't know.
Sure. Yeah. So D Community is a Web3 service provider. Basically our tagline is where Main Street meets Metaverse. And the idea being we're a bunch of guys from the legacy system that saw the changes these new technologies are bringing and the kind of new form of engagement you can have with your fans or customers. And we're building a business around it. And we're focusing on that ease of onboarding. Like if grandma can do it with one click, then it'll pick up, you know, because there's value there. So yeah. And we know Denny in the label group who was with Billy. And Denny's building out, I'll let him talk about it, but the label group is building out their own kind of suite of services around the way the industry's changing, right? For a myriad of reasons. And where our solutions are a part of that offering, right? Once people would come in. And this is one of the first we're doing with it. What the idea was, we were just going to help with a promotion with the Morrison Project, and there would be a giveaway. And since the beginning, the idea has been, let's put a charity behind this. Like, we're in a position, all of us, to do some good. And so why not, right? So that's how we're running it. Right now, we're just drumming up the interest. And that's this, yeah, you're going to, the winner, right now, it's like a link. You sign up and maybe, you go like a Facebook or you do this, right? You know, there's a little call to action for free entries to win the prize, right? And really all we're doing is trying to build awareness, get that footprint going, warm the engine up for the auction. And it's great. And so what happens is we're going to stop taking entries in a few days coming up. There's a big countdown clock on there. Yeah. And we'll draw a winner. And that person's going out to LA. It's a rock star weekend. I mean, that's what it is. It's a phenomenal prize. Now they're also going to get, and we can talk about this later, but they're also, that winner will be receiving one of the NFTs, the charity auction NFTs that are being minted, which also, it's a Phigital, a true Phigital collector's item. It's a super limited edition signed colored vinyl will be sent to them with a certificate of authenticity. That will also have a hash on it, a QR that'll lead you right on chain to the digital pair that proves its authenticity, its provenance, et cetera. And that's the D community component, right? Is bringing that in. And a couple things happen there, right? You can have people from around the world, whether they're fans of Billy's, fans of some of his collaborators, rock in general, or his art, right? Billy's an artist too, or his art, or they could be fans of the charity. And we're doing Above Ground, which is it's a big deal right now. This is about mental health, right? There's a lot, we all know what's going on out there. And it's tough for a lot of people. So we're raising money for a good cause. So there's people that are fans of that. Now we've taken down all the gatekeepers. Like, so this is gonna be out on open sea, right? Anyone, D Community will allow you to bid on that auction via a debit card, et cetera. But it's you also with a wallet from anywhere in the world can go in and do that, right? So it should be exciting. I mean, we got involved because it was relationships type thing, and it was a perfect use case for us, and it fits our market who we're trying to attract. And look, I can't be happier. It's been fun working with Billy. Yeah. I like working with Danny and all that. But I'll pass with that for now.
Yeah. Well, I think that the great thing about the NFT is that it'll be a COA, which can't be forged. And for music collectors, that's a huge thing with memorabilia because, one of the bad things about, the standard memorabilia is that the COA, if it's in paper format, it can be forged, signatures can be forged.
Can I interject here? A lot of what Sean just said went over my head, basically because I'm the artist, but I've embraced new technology every time it comes along, even if I don't understand it. If you don't do that, you'd still be making cassette tapes or 8-tracks and you would be dead in the water. So I don't understand how they make, how streaming works, but I embrace it. That's what we do these days. And I embraced it when CDs came along, because if you don't, you're dead in the water. So a lot of what Sean just said, it's all exciting, basically because I don't understand it. But it's where we're headed, like it or not. So when a company like D Community approaches me through Denny and they want to do some cutting edge stuff, I'm all about it. And as an artist, I've sold NFTs and it is a business and it does work. And just because I'm not out there putting gas in my car and paying for it using Ethereum doesn't mean it's not a real thing and that I should embrace it. So to what you just said, all I ensure is, as you can tell, I'm hands-on at every step of anything I do. And as long as I am ensuring that there's no fakes, it's all authenticated, it is coming from me, which it is, then I'm happy to embrace all of this. And I think it's a very exciting parallel journey with I'm putting out a solo album. Yeah. We all do. We all put out music. We're doing it. But I'm also an artist. And this has cross-pollinated really nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, collectability is big now.
Well, before we go on, let me tell you, there's also above those colored vinyls, and with the digital painting, there's one grand prize NFT, which is the actual artwork of Billy's.
It's hanging in my garage right now. It's a physical painting that I put hands on and painted it. And that's cool. You can also win that.
Yeah. And Billy calls it the garage. It's an art gallery. His garage is an art gallery. I've seen it.
Now we're talking about a real piece of art, right? And it too is authenticated and has that provenance through the COA, right? Which is in a hash. So.
And it's also, it crosses over into what we were talking about before we started this, Pat, with the limited edition vinyl. I mean, I've done the cover for that. I've been hands-on at every step of the way so that the people who get that are also getting something that is really... It's not just generic. It's not churned out. This is thought out art. And, you know, the whole package of that 12 inches is something that I've approved that I think is great and a wonderful little collectible, you know?
Billy, I don't think a lot of people realize that many musicians are really great artists, painters. Whether it's Ron Wood, Chrissy Hine, you got a lot of
great. A million of them. Let me tell you, Marilyn Manson is a fantastic artist.
Really?
Some of his watercolors are amazing. You got Paul Stanley. That everyone paints.
Yeah, I mean, more people should check out galleries and find out that your favorite musician might be a fine artist. You know. And as far as like collectability, collectors come in all shapes and forms. And, you know, as a music geek, hey, I even collect cassettes and 8-tracks.
I have a couple of
NFT as well.
Hey, Denny, can we put the album out on 8-track?
I think, there cassettes definitely. There are a few guys I think actually make it 8-tracks again. Cassettes are kind of a cool little kitschy item. Hey. I have one artist that actually found a place in China to get those old players that have like the FM station on them, right? The cheap little headphones. And they package their cassette along with that. And it's brilliant.
My first album was
I always Led like to Zeppelin say the II. Old is always new again at some point.
Yeah. Right? My first album was Led Zeppelin II, given to me by my brother-in-law on 8-track. And I thought that some of the songs were split in two. And I thought Ramble On was part one and part two. Until I heard the vinyl, right? So yeah, we can make crack cocaine one and two.
There's an extended there is an extended version that we didn't put out, so maybe we'll just do an 8-track of crack cocaine or something.
And Patrick, did you ever think you'd be doing a podcast talking about crack cocaine?
Oh shit. Hey, Billy, do you have any stories about the rainbow hanging out?
Would you hang
out with Lemmy there or anything?
Yeah, man, of course. I mean, I was very close with Lemmy. We texted a lot. And I mean, the rainbow's 5 minutes from my house. So, most of the stories that people want to hear, I can't tell.
Exactly.
There's a reason why I'm still respected in the business. And that's because I'm not doing the tell-all shit. So the rainbow has seen its fair share of what everyone would love to think it's seen. It has seen it. Am I going to tell those stories? No.
Yeah. I don't remember most of my stories.
You could just say they have good pizza. That's what
they have amazing pizza, and believe it or not, their minestrone soup is fantastic. So I know what I'm going to be eating when these competition winners meet me up there.
Yeah. Hotel Ziggy looks phenomenal, right?
Denny, did you choose the Hotel Ziggy?
I did, and I've talked to the people. They've really got this whole rock and roll attitude over there. It's the old Grafton Hotel, Billy. Remember the Grafton?
Oh, I know it. I know it well. And I actually meant to mention to you that I hope you've got me the presidential suite for that night.
I will look into that. They're they're being really cool because you could get guitars in your rooms at this hotel. It's really a rock and roll based hotel. I thought, well, how perfect is this, right?
And serious
for a rock and roll weekend, right?
Yeah, yes. That's great. It's a great hotel.
So wait, guitars in the room?
You can order that. They have rental guitars and amps. I'm trying to, absolutely.
If I'm an aspiring guitarist, I could wake up in the middle of the night and maybe write a song, right? Pick up that guitar in my room.
the rooms we're getting are their higher end rooms called the loft rooms. I believe they come with a guitar and an amp, which is kind of
crazy. Oh wow. Okay. So let's play anything.
I have no musical talent whatsoever myself.
Well, your musical talent is the business. The business end.
Yeah. You know, from the label side, the whole NF, you know, I've been looking at 6 months ago when I first met Sean, I knew nothing about blockchain. I had actually worked with an NFT company I did an NFT with Scum of the Earth, you know, Riggs Band. I had done some NFT stuff and I always thought they were kind of boring. But when I found you could attach things to an NFT, right, to make it cool, where it's just not a piece of art sitting on your computer. You can actually attach a song. You can attach a coupon for $5 off on a t-shirt, whatever. You can do really cool things with NFTs in the blockchain. I think it's brilliant. You know, we're early on it, but I think it's a great way. As a label, we're always looking for new ways to, you know, connect with fans, right?
Yeah, and Sean, doesn't NFTs protect the provenance? And also, if the collector sells that painting, right? Doesn't it have like something where they can get, is it royalties or something
so set up like that? It's built into the code. Yeah. So the artist, the original artist of the NFT, the royalties built in. So on the secondary market, so say someone wins this, they sell it, they get their proceeds, but underneath it first is that royalty gets paid, and ultimately taxes could be paid. Like, you can have the code pointing it everywhere. But yes, to your point, those royalties can go, they go on in perpetuity.
Right. Right. Also, one of the most important things with NFTs is provenance. I know this is only audio, but what I'm pointing at right there is a Jean-Michel Basquiat, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in order to buy a Jean-Michel Basquiat, you better be sure of its provenance. I had to go through a lot to make sure before I bought that it's signed. But that means nothing. So the chain of ownership when you buy that kind of art is very important and often hard to find. I mean, the person that bought that from Jean-Michel in 1982 is dead. So I had to trace this provenance. When you sell an NFT, it's all transparent. So you can see exactly who's owned this NFT. So the provenance is very important as well.
Yeah, exactly. But let's talk about the album. Let's go back to the album, The Morrison Project. What I like on here, Linda Perry, her involvement, right, on Chasing Shadows. She's a great song.
An amazing track, amazing song.
So are we meant to be when one and one makes three? Or are we chasing shadows in the dark?
The thing with that track that I'm most proud of is, so first of all, Linda doesn't do this kind of thing. If you look around, Linda does not pop up on random people's albums very often. She's too busy winning Grammys for songwriting some of the greatest songs the world has ever had.
She just did Ringo's EP, right?
However, I sent Linda, she's a very close friend of mine, and I said, would you consider singing a song? And she said, well, send me the track. So there is a version. I wrote the whole thing. I wrote it on piano. I wrote the lyrics. I wrote the melody. Like, it was a self-contained song. So there is a version of that song with me singing it, which the world will never hear because it's shit. But I needed to communicate to Linda how this song went. And I expected her to say, okay, come to my studio. We've got to deconstruct it. I want to rewrite the lyrics. It's got to, you know, there's potential here. And the text that I got back from Linda was, this is a perfect song. I don't want to change a thing. I will sing this for you. Whoa. So as a songwriter, to have one of the world's greatest songwriters tell you you've written a perfect song and she doesn't want to change her words, that's pretty special.
That is. And it's also special that you have a copy of you singing as well.
Yeah, and later. It's on the lock and key, because I tell you, no one wants to hear that shit.
It could be a B-side, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Throw it on the A-track.
You know, that's big business here in Nashville, demoing out songs. There's guys that sing on demos. That's what they get paid for here in Nashville.
Exactly. Maybe I've got a career in Nashville ahead of me.
There you go.
And then there's Mr. Dream, right? I mean, even though you've played with Billy Idol and Steve Stevens all these years, you know, asking them to do something, they're pretty cool about that, right?
Yeah, so first of all, funnily enough, that's another track where there is a version of me singing it, because I wrote that too.
Wow, Danny, we got a whole album here.
Well, could also never hear. But interestingly enough, Billy was glaringly absent. He was the last song to be done on this record. And I was sitting there looking at the other 11 songs, and it was patently obvious that the one guy... You know, this is basically an album of me and my close friends. There was no hustling to get these people to be on the record. Everyone on the record I text with all the time. And it was glaringly obvious that my boss in Billy Idol, was not on the record. And it seemed weird. So I texted him and asked if he would do one. He said, of course. And me and Steve... I sent Steve the song. He made a few changes, which made the world a difference. And then I wrote the lyric, sang it, you know, sent it to Billy, and another icon. He showed up and took about half an hour, and then he was gone, and he did it.
Really?
And it was amazing.
I've never interviewed him, but I heard he's one of the nicest guys in the business.
Dude, I cannot imagine being in any other band. Billy Idol, I used to go and see him in Generation X. I'm the only person in Billy Idol's band that saw Generation X.
Wow, that's generous. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, along with the Sex Pistols and Adam and the Ants, Generation X were one of my top three punk bands when I was a kid. So to end up not only being in the band, but also realizing how wonderful and truly iconic he is and down to earth, I just could not imagine being in any other band.
As a side note, did you get to see the Ants before they were called Adam and the Ants?
You know what? First of all, you've just gone up tenfold in my estimation.
I love that record.
That was such a good question.
No. Before we all start going, oh, I love that record, I'm talking about what Pat's talking about. The Ants before the White Stripe, before any fucking record, they were a different band.
Yeah, no,
they were absolutely incredible. And I did see them. And I've been an Adam Ant fan for years, but there's a completely other band there that Pat is nodding and saying, yeah. All of those songs never saw the light of day.
Which is sad.
Yeah, I mean, they're available on bootlegs, and there's all kinds of Decca. They were signed to Decca, and they recorded them all. I mean, I'm an Ant, and I know a lot about Adam and the Ants. And before he stuck a white stripe on his face, and before even the first record, Dirk Wears White Socks, there was an Adam and the Ants that were so scary to watch and yet so sexual and hot, because, you know, the guy was on stage wearing plastic pants, no shirt, tape across his nipples, singing about, you know, bondage. No one was doing that shit. Adam was amazing at that time. I love that you know about pre-Ants.
And the woman from the Sex, was she in the band? I Jordan, forgot her name.
No, Jordan used to just get up on stage and, you know, shake her body about. Denny, we have to have a conversation about Adam and the Ants. I didn't know you liked them.
Oh, I love them. Oh, yeah. Actually, the current guitar player I was always going to work with a while back, a couple years back.
Will?
Yes, Will. Great guy. Super nice guy.
Dude, Will is one of my closest friends.
Really? Nicest guy, man.
I have toured with Will and, me and Will. But here's a quick story for you. So, and it ties in. So this charity that this auction and the D Community partnership is working with is actually Above Ground, which is formed by me and Dave Navarro. And it's basically, our phrase is, it's okay to ask for help. And it came about because we were watching our friends die from trauma, PTSD, addiction and depression, suicide, that kind of stuff, suicide prevention. So we formed this charity, and the idea is we play albums live in their entirety from bands that you can't see them do that anymore. Okay. Wow. We did Ziggy Stardust in its entirety, and it's not covers. We do it note for note. So we have a string section, and we have Mike Garton from Bowie's band on piano, and like, we do it really well. So one of the gigs we did, we played Kings of the Wild Frontier in its entirety, even the shit tracks, right? And I cold called Marco Peroni, who's the Ants guitar player, the original Ants guitar player, who wrote all those songs. And I found him on a farm in the middle of England. He hadn't played these songs in 20 years, but he is such a beautiful human being that he paid on his own dime to fly to LA, and he got up with us. And for the first time in 20 years, he played three of those songs with us.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool.
Well, for us as a fan, it was a huge moment.
That's awesome.
Where can people go for the charity? What's the website?
It's abovegroundorg.com.
Okay, cool.
A lot of our funds end up at Music Airs, which is a huge Grammy organization that actively is boots on the ground, puts people in treatment centers the same day when they need it, has so many resources for suicide prevention, depression, trauma, PTSD. So a lot of our funds, we end up donating to them because they're boots on the ground.
Right. I mean, I look at, one of my favorite musical movements was grunge, and I look at all the top bands now, and the lead singers are gone.
Those were the people we're talking about. In a space of just a couple of years, we lost Scott Weiland, we lost Chester Bennington, we lost Chris Cornell. It was a thing there for a second, and that's when Dave and I were like, dude, because it could easily have been Dave and I.
Yes.
You know, we both have huge documented drug addiction histories, trauma, depression, and it could easily have been me or Dave. And that's when we went, we've got to try and use whatever voice we have to help people here.
Yeah, that's a good cause, man. Well, let's talk finally about Incite the Watch, which you got Corey Taylor and Steve Vai. That's quite a combo there. How did that get together?
So I've got to tell you, that was actually two songs that I put together to make one.
Really?
Yeah. So I had the dirty, heavy industrial loop section, which I sent to Corey, and God love him, he has got one of the greatest voices in rock. And he just, what you hear on that is, that's what he sent back. There's no tuning, there's no effects, there's no nothing. It was absolutely perfect. But I also had this section of music, which was the same tempo. And it was, it's inspired by an English band called the Wild Hearts. Does anyone know the Wild Hearts?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Wild Hearts are one of the greatest bands that never quite got there. They've released over 20 albums, and the main guy, Ginger, has this really unique songwriting thing where it's all power chords, but there's key changes and rhythmic changes, and it's quite complex. Mm. And I had this section of music, which was three key changes, rhythm changes, and this whole mad riff. So I stuck it on the end of the Corey bit, and it worked. And I thought, well, I guess Steve Vai would be really good over such a complex musical section, and he's a friend. So I texted him, and he's a lovely man. He said yes. And that's how the two pieces of music ended up being one epic journey for 6.5 minutes.
Yeah. Corey, you've been a friend with Corey for a while then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 20 years. Corey got up many, many times with my other band called Royal Machines. And he's a wonderful man, and said yes. That's, you know, I said, would you do a song? He said yes. It's interesting. It's the only song we have no lyrics for, because I can't quite make out what he's singing, and he hasn't told me what the lyrics are. So basically, that's the one song on the album where I'm singing it in my head phonetically, because I'm not quite sure what he's singing.
Hmm. I'll have to take a listen again.
Tell me if you can figure out the words.
So let's talk about how the SiriusXM Ozzy's Boneyard thing. Now, the winner of the contest also gets to be in attendance for this. Is that correct?
Yes. I've done a couple of these. When Ozzy's put albums out, they do these album specials, and it's a select invited audience, not many people, about 30 people, of which some of those are our competition winners this time. And they get to come and be in a room where we play the whole album track by track. Mm. And they have one of their big rock DJs, Tommy London, is going to host it. And he will be talking to me, obviously, and Ozzy and Steve Stevens and John Five, all of whom were guests on the record. And they play each track and dissect it and talk to me and the others about the track, what it's about, what it was like recording it. And these competition winners, Sirius, God love them, they're hosting this event. And it's all recorded to be aired as an album special where they play every track and listen to me bang on about what I was thinking when I wrote it.
Can the winners hang out with, ask Ozzy questions or?
You know, we're being a little, they're going to be in the same room. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone gets to ask questions. Maybe, I don't know. But they're not going to get to go down the street to Pink's Hot Dog with Ozzy, you know. So let's manage some expectations here. You know, we're there to record an album special. Ozzy will be there.
Okay. They're not going to watch the History Channel with Ozzy?
Yeah, then he's going to take him home and cook him dinner.
Oh, God. Okay, well, great. What? How about the tour? How about a tour in the U.S.?
Yeah.
So I must have done a bunch of press, and here's my answer. I'm obviously not going to tour it because I can't sing Crack Cocaine like Ozzy, and I can't sing Chasing Shadows like Linda Perry. However, if someone hears this and they've got a big enough checkbook, the one night only Madison Square Garden's performance of this and other cover songs is very possible.
Wow.
Right. It would be cool as a one-off, say in LA or New York, and Ozzy.
Well, look, I have this band called Royal Machines, and it's Josh Fries from the Foo Fighters on drums.
Yeah,
and it's Chris Chaney, who's now in AC/DC, on bass, and me and Dave Navarro and Mark McGrath. And we do these gigs where we play cover songs and invite Ozzy and Steven Tyler and all the rest of it. They get up and play. So I have the band ready to perform the Morrison Project in its entirety with all the guests. However, that costs a lot of money.
Yeah. You hear that, guys?
Oh, trust me, this will be this. I've got it on tape. I've got it recorded. This will be going out to my promoter buddies at Live Nation.
Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal concert event.
I'll tell you what I would actually suggest if it became real.
Seriously.
Is we did two shows, one in New York and one in LA.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And the truth is, I can get the guests on the album to appear. We just have to pay everyone.
Right. But anyway, thank you guys. And can we talk? Let's talk about, wait, before we end this, let's talk about this thing that we might be doing for Project M. Denny Sanders,
yes, the collectible.
Are you still
there? Yeah.
Here. So, Denny, maybe you can explain that this is in the works.
Yes, in the world, you know, with you, Patrick, and Tony Bruno, and it's a collectible. It's going to be limited edition. Billy's created artwork for it, and it's going to be the Aussie single. And it's, I guess you call it an etching on the flip side, correct, in the collectibles world?
Yep.
Yep, and it's etching. It's coming together. It's going to come out. It's going to be cool. I think we're going to do a limited edition of 500 from the way we've talked, and I think it's going to be pretty darn cool.
So I'm excited about it. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't have a release date on it yet, but I'm excited about it. I think it's really cool. You know, okay, Pat, one thing I want to say about this record is all the features, everything, you know, I've said this before, all the features, it's great. As a label or a manager, you get records with features on it. You really look at it like going, this looks like a real big pain in the butt because of clearance. All the things that go around features, right? It's not something you normally look forward to. Billy already had all this done, but the songwriting on this record is brilliant. It's great. The songs are really good. And that's what really sold me on this record is the songwriting. All the features are great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're all great artists in their own writing, amazing musicians and singers. Everything up with the songwriting. It's from front to back. It's a very good record. It's an amazing record.
And there was no other partner. Pat, I'm not blowing. Well, I'm blowing smoke, but I don't give a shit. There was no other partner because I'm long in the tooth in this business. And I definitely didn't just want to go out there and sign my life away for nothing and watch it, you know, pour down a drain unnoticed. So the partnership with me and Denny, there is no other person I would have done this record with. He's been amazing. He understands what I wanted and has stepped up at every level. So it's a good vibe all around.
Yeah, it's been fun. Billy, the most amazing guy to work with. I've never worked with somebody so on top of things. We're in a business of flaky people, man, for the most part. You know, it's like, and Billy, I mean, it's just, like Billy said, the whole thing's been an absolute pleasure.
Eccentric.
The only time it wasn't a pleasure is when I said to him, I don't fly anywhere unless it's first class.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't blame you, man. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick.
And we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, everybody.
Pat.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.